Isaiah talks about Jerusalem being this light, this beacon, and that all the nations of the world at one time will be attracted to that beacon. It would be drawn to that light because somehow or another, that light represented the presence of God for the chosen people. And Isaiah saw this as that all people one day would be welcomed. That God chose the people through Abraham and through Moses and down through the prophets. He chose the chosen people and made them pretty much his own. And sometimes they had the idea that they were really the only ones that God cared about. But Isaiah makes it pretty clear that all nations will be attracted to this light. Now, we know this story of the Magi pretty well. Oh, we've heard it for years. You can probably tell it pretty much by yourself, like all the other Christmas stories. And they're very touching stories. But there's always a message with them. You know, there's a message somehow that, and we try to figure out, what is it supposed to be? What are they trying to say to us? That we should all become astrologers and wise men studying the skies so that if something extraordinary happens that might move us, that may be part of it. Or does it say that these people didn't have anything else to do, that they could just set their lives aside and pursue this unusual light that appeared to them? But it's much deeper than that. It's much deeper than that. It's kind of like they represent all of the non-chosen people world, the non-Jewish world. They represent all of the other people on earth who are also invited to share the brilliance of this light that Isaiah promised would shine forth from Jerusalem. And so, when we look at the Magi and the journey that they made, we marvel at what they were able to accomplish. They obviously were very wise people. They were students. They studied a lot. And somehow or another, they recognized this as an unusual sign. But there's obviously something, a curiosity inside them that made them search. They were looking for something. And this light that appeared to them and guided them indicated that what that something was a connection with this God, with this child who had been born into this world, not just for some people, but he came for all people. And somehow or another, they had some idea of that. You know, God can reveal himself to us in any way he chooses to do so. He can do it through his word. He could do it by shaking the building and shouting at us if he chose to do that. He could do whatever he wants. But God reveals himself in all of his creation. Everything that God ever made has something of the divine in it. It's like the artist who paints, that somehow there's something of that artist in every painting that they do. It reveals something about them if you are into that kind of study. And so everything in God, that God created has something of himself in it that can reveal to us, to people who are interested in looking, his presence. So maybe in studying their astrology as they did, they saw that something special that in their hearts they were looking for. So we kind of say, well, what is the message for us? I mean, here we are 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus. We know he came. We profess our belief in him. We try to live our lives the way he asked us to be. So what would be a message to us? And I would just dawned on me today as I'm trying to prepare my thoughts for the sermon this evening. It kind of dawned on me, you know, that light that was Jerusalem was supposed to be that light that all the nations would be drawn to. Well, that light is the presence of God. And for Christ, for us Christian people, those who bear the name of Christ, his light is in every one of us. The light of Christ dwells in every one of us because where Christ is, there his light is also. And he said, and I do choose to dwell in you. So somehow or another, we are supposed to be that light to the rest of the world. Because there's billions of people in this world today who have never heard of Jesus Christ. And somehow or another, they may seek God in their own ways. But what we are supposed to be is a light. Say maybe something like a star guiding the Magi. Maybe something like that image of Jerusalem sitting on the top of a mountain that is a beacon for all nations to come to, seeking that light, seeking to be part of that mystery. And I think that's probably what we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be the light of Christ in this world. And we kind of say, well, yeah, I try to do that, but I don't really see myself being that brilliant or anything like that. And I guess that's not for us to worry about. But the important things are faithfulness to our Lord, so that wherever we are, that presence somehow is manifest. If somebody is looking for something in particular, they may find that in us. We may be that light for that person at that particular time or moment in their life. It may be at your workplace, where someone has worked next to you for 20 years, and maybe one day comes to you and says something that you can, they ask you a question or maybe raise an issue, and you can give them some kind of a guidance that enriches their life by simply letting them see the goodness that Christ is in your life, and that you can be a guide to them. Or let's say somebody who maybe you've never spoken to in your lifetime, suddenly crosses your path, and for whatever reason, you greet them in a kind way, and maybe for that person at that time, you were that manifestation of light that they really needed for their life. You see that sometimes in families, in families struggle these days, we struggle a whole lot actually, and there's all kinds of issues and problems that families have to deal with today that they didn't have to deal with years ago. And particularly when we get into the drug business, and you kind of say, maybe there's a moment when in their sobriety that they recognize in you a sign of hope or a sign of some care that gives them the courage to say, I will get off of this stuff. So we never know when that's going to be. It's probably like the Magi. They didn't know that all of a sudden this star was going to appear that they felt compelled to follow. They didn't know that was going to happen. But somehow they were seeking something to make their lives fuller and richer, meaningful, have purpose, have goals, have hopes, all of those things that we look at in life. And maybe putting all of those things together, that light that they saw in the sky called them to come and find out, come and see. Maybe that's what we're supposed to be in this world. You know, Christ says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden, and neither can a light be put under a bushel basket, doesn't do any good then. But we're supposed to be a light. It doesn't mean you have to do anything extraordinary except to be faithful to Christ. That's all it requires. And maybe you, to your family, to friends, to, like you mentioned, workers, classmates, total strangers, you may be that light. I remember one time years ago, I took a sabbatical out in California, and part of this sabbatical was this 8-day silent retreat. I may have mentioned this before. But anyway, I chose to go to a Jesuit retreat center out there somewhere in California. And the retreat master that I had, I would meet with him 15 minutes every morning. And he would give you something to read or something to reflect on or something to kind of, that you were supposed to spend your day doing together with your prayer. And so one day he said, do you like to walk? He said, I notice you walk around the campus quite a bit. And I said, yes, I do. So he sent me to this park. It was not too far from San Francisco Bay. He said, you enjoy walking there because you can walk for miles. So I thought, okay, he's kind of sending me there. So I thought that's what I will do. So I went. And the first day I walked for probably half hour, 45 minutes, sat down on a bench to rest for a while. A young lady comes along, and she said, do you mind if I sit here? And I said, no. She sat there and talked for an hour. She told me her whole life history. I never saw the woman before in my life, never saw her again. She told me her whole life history. I didn't have to say a word. And then she got up and said, thanks, and went off. And so the next day I'm out there walking the same trails, and a gentleman, a little bit older than I was at the time, he said, do you mind if I walk with you? I said, no, you're more than welcome. He walked and talked for probably an hour and a half. And at the end of the conversation, he said, thank you. So I went back to the retreat center, and I kind of saying to myself, you know, we're supposed to be silent. I'm supposed to be keeping my mouth shut. But I thought about it. I really didn't say much at all. But for some reason or other, they found in me that day, or at that particular moment, somebody that they needed to talk to. I didn't invite them, you know. But you kind of say to yourself, well, maybe I was in the right place at the right time. If you were able to offer some hope, some comfort, some peace, whatever it is. See, that's what Christ is within each and every one of us. And somehow or another, we have to allow that to be. Simply by being closer to Him ourselves and allowing Christ, who is the light of the world, to shine in us. And maybe that's the Jerusalem that people come to and recognize in you and seek that light. Or maybe that's the star that guides them somehow to where they need to be. A thought for us on this Feast of the Magi, of the Feast of the Epiphany. We are supposed to be open to all people of all nations, of all cultures, whoever they are, whatever age they are, it doesn't make any difference. We are supposed to be that light that somehow helps them find the Messiah.